Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And, you know, it was fun having a bunch of games yesterday, just kind of, you know, surfing around, watching stuff, whether it was Red Zone or the game mix or whatever. You know, just fun action, good games, all the way even into the late window. But you did have an overtime game, and one team that, you know, basically got screwed. There was a call on the field that was ruled a fumble. The Minnesota Vikings, who did not play well for a majority of that game, but they found themselves in overtime after coming back. And there was a fumble on the field. Dalvin Cook, it looked like he was down. It looked down to me, but they ruled it. It was a fumble. Cincinnati gets the ball back, and Cincinnati wins the game in overtime with the gun going off, no time remaining, and Minnesota is now staring 0-1 in the NFC North, but they were joined by every other team in the NFC North. But Mike Zimmer, the head coach, talked afterwards about this fumble yesterday in Cincy.
Very disappointing. Then we got a chance to rally and come back and win the game. We fumbled the ball, and you know, we give up that fourth and inches throw. So got a lot of work to do. We don't still got a long way to go. Credit to them. They played better than we did today.
Something tells me when Mike Zimmer looks back at that one, he's going to be even more pissed off Brady Quinn. I don't know if he's going to be as pissed off as you, though.
I'm pissed off about it for this reason. The line in this game was 3 points. And if
degenerate.
No, but, you know, so anyone who bet the Vikings went from probably pushing that bet to losing that bet on that one call. And what upsets me about this is, you know, there's been a lot of change in the NFL replay officiating. Perry Fuel's now a part of this, along with Walt Anderson. It was Al Riveron before that. So they made a change up top to how this process is going to go, and they've changed also how they're essentially having the officials officiate these plays. If they don't know, they're telling them to rule it a fumble, let the play out. Reason being is this: when there's a change of possession, they now then get it automatically causes a replay. So it brings replay into the situation. But the problem with that is the call on the field now, it still stands and it has to be conclusive based on the camera angles and everything that they have in order to overturn it. So there's a burden that they need to meet in order to overturn it. And it's the dumbest thing that the NFL does, because instead of just saying, okay, this was the call on the field, but really we're not sure, so we're sending it up to replay to re-officiate the play, which is what they should do, they now have a standard or a burden they have to meet in order to overturn the play. It is the dumbest thing in the history of the world, where we all, I think the majority of people who looked at that play go, yeah, he was probably down. When his butt hit the ground, the ball wasn't out. It looked like it came out afterwards. And so not only does it change the outcome of games, it changed the outcome of a lot of bets for a lot of people out there. But to me, it bothers me more because the NFL is moving in this direction of incorporating more sports betting into the game, and yet they can't figure out replay.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. Just re-officiate the play. Who cares what it was on the field? Like, these guys, they're looking at each other. I don't know. I just say it's a fumble. Yeah, they got it. Let's throw it up the replay. Like, they'll gladly give up that power and control and turn it over to you. It's the dumbest thing in the world to me that we haven't figured out. And this is a multi-billion dollar business, and yet they can't figure out the replay aspect of it to maintain the integrity of the game. So, look, did the Vikings play well? No. And the Bengals, especially in that fourth of inches, a gutsy call to throw the way they did. You might want to, you know, look at a couple of the other gutsy calls that you know, up 21-7 going for fourth and one on your own 30.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
That was pretty gutsy by Zach Taylor. It didn't turn out too well for him. But the reality is that singular play would have had the Vikings, okay, it would have been second down on the Cincinnati 38, and Greg Joseph hit a bomb to put it into overtime, you can't tell me that essentially took away their chance of winning that football game and at least winning the game and then being able to cover for all those out there who had the Vikings minus three.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I sort of gave up when the NFL, after the NFC title game and that blown call between the Rams and Saints, they said, all right, well, you know, we're going to make pass interference reviewable. And then it just got to the point to where it felt like officials didn't want to be corrected, almost like it was a knock to them, like they were being embarrassed if they got a call wrong. So they didn't want to be corrected. And you just saw, as the season went on, coaches just gave up trying to challenge pass interferences because they couldn't get calls overturned that seemed pretty obvious. And I don't know why they do it this way where they don't re-officiate it, but is this just so they can, like, kind of have each other's back? Like, I can't figure it out.
The best of my knowledge is they want to ensure that the officials on the field still are empowered.
Yes.
And they don't want to go to replay for everything, which you can't go to replay for everything. Case in point, that rule you talked about, they got rid of.
Yes.
You can't even throw a challenge flag to review a play, which is still a bit absurd. Like, you can't just have one where you say, yeah, I want you to re-officiate. For example, last night's Sunday Night Football game, there was a slant pass where David Long, I think it was Allen Robinson, he hit him almost a second before the ball got there.
Yeah.
It was clear and obvious pass interference, and yet now, because the rule's not there anymore, you can't challenge it. And it would have taken away, you know, momentum, taken away a first down and 15 in that case. It's just the NFL, for whatever reason, wants to nickel and dime and not spend money. I don't know if it's bringing back Dean Blandino or Mike Pereira, but they can't figure it out. And honestly, they could. They just don't want to spend the money. They don't care about it that much. And maybe they're okay with us making it controversial.
There you go.
And allowing people to lose money on these bets.
That's what I think. I think it just adds to the drama.
To the conversation.
Of the most organic storyline of a reality television show. It's reality TV. You don't know which way it's going to go. The script is not written. And so when you have interesting, it's like Running Man. You have interesting additions to complicate what the situation may or may not be, and it keeps you more entertained. If you just had a cleanly reffed game, a cleanly ran game, I almost feel like the powers that be that have created this behemoth, you know, they look at it as that's just too clean. You got to add elements that play out in a way where you just can't expect it or predict it is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
Maybe they love this conversation. The fact that, you know, it's a day later we're having these discussions and all that. To me, if it's that obvious, what the hell's the problem? We have the technology. What the hell's the issue? It's like I've never understood, you know, why is there not a shot over the goal line, like overhead? Like, figure out some way.
You want to know another element of all of this as well that should be stated, and I hate to do this, but I am. They're some of the most arrogant. The rule makers, they are some of the most arrogant people.
Oh, they're in control.
That you will ever experience.
100%, like, they're in control.
If you ever get the opportunity to deal with a referee, you'll understand very quickly. Referees are some of the most arrogant dudes you will ever deal with. Like, a lot of them, and some I know some of them. Like, one of my alums is Terry Killens is a ref, so I apologize to
you. Do you ever want to headbutt one of them when they were running their mouth?
I never wanted to hit, but I never want
to put Excalibur right
in their mouth.
Just put Excalibur on the bridge of their nose.
I mean, I never wanted to hurt a referee, but I do be looking at them like, where did you come from? Like,
just one headbutt.
They look like aliens to me.
just right on the bridge of his nose. Just let him know his boss.
But you know, as a backer, what you can do every once in a while is, because referees are a part of the field, you can wipe them out. I have wiped out referees before. And they might have not even known. They might have not even known.
Intentionally?
Oh, heck yeah. Wipe out.
Good for you.
All right, but don't tell anybody
that. No, we won't. Yeah, right. Nobody's listening. Don't worry about it.
Don't tell nobody that.
That
ref got in the way. Yeah, he did.
Look, Dean Blandino and Mike Pereira, those guys saw the writing on the wall years ago, and they got out of it.
They're brilliant.
Dean Blandino was like, I'm getting the hell out of here. He took over for Mike priorities. Like, hey, Mike, I'm gonna do what you do. I'm gonna go to the same network as you. I want the hell out of this. And all those. Look, you saw a couple of years ago. I think it's of the 18 officials, it was like 17 or 18 officials, I guess, is their title in the NFL. Four of them retired or moved to TV in one offseason. And it's like, when you see that much turnover, they, I think, too, realize, look, man, this is not the job for us anymore. And the way that it's being done now, and now you've got Al Riveron who stepped aside, Brady, I would want no part of this gig. I'm out. I'm not interested.
Look, you could get it right. You just got to pay for it. You just got to pay for it. You can't be cheap. Whether it's bringing Dean or Mike back and then and writing them a check that they can't refuse. Like, that's the only way this thing is going to work. And actually listening to them and say, okay, let's come up with a realistic plan to be able to utilize the technology we have, the camera angles we have to implement replay so we get it right. But that's the truth of the matter is I don't know that there's enough of a push, to be quite honest with you, from coaches on the competition committee to really get it right, or the NFL for that matter. Like, I really don't know that they care enough. I mean, think about it. A lot of the coaches are old enough, and I know there's a lot of younger ones now that are coming up, but they're like, yeah, that's how it's always been. You know, like, we don't, you know, we're used to the calls in the field. We're not going to let that, you know, dictate how we feel about the game went. I mean, you heard Mike Zimmer. Even when he looks back and says, well, that wasn't a fumble, he's still going to look at his team and go, you guys didn't play well enough to win anyway.
And he hates Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, there's that, too. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know what he hates Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but it sounds better on better on radio, you know, when you say that. You know,
so funny.
Take. I'm just saying, he hates Kirk Cousins.
It's real out here for a Cousins, man.
Yeah, I hear you, my man.
You got to be safe out here when you're a Kirk Cousins, bro.
Hey, by the way, on this particular game, I know not to get off topic, but – Jamar Chase didn't drop the football. He looked good. Yeah. He looked good in the regular season.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you guys are criticizing him
AFC
so much in the preseason.
North.
You know, I don't know. Like, that was you guys making the jokes, not me. Definitely not me making the jokes about Jamar Chase and that giraffe named after Joe Burrow that died on Friday.
They're tough in the North.
It was you guys making that joke, not me. I didn't make that joke. Definitely not.
They reel on the West.
Yeah, they are.
I honestly forgot you made that joke right now.
Yeah, I think it was you guys that made it, not me.
I completely forgot about the whole giraffe thing until you just brought it up.
Yeah, of course.
No, he's always doing that. You know, I mean,
yeah,
natural hater. You know, I mean, it's real out here.
Jonas is a type that loves to bring to life his shortcomings. So, like, he's the exact opposite of, like, most people out there who are, like,
especially
hate
in radio.
To be wrong.
Yeah, especially in radio.
Well, especially in radio. Especially in radio.
Yeah.
But, like, Jonas is ahead of the curve. Like, we're going to go through this renaissance of people being like they want to be wrong. Like, they'll make ridiculous claims just so they can come back after the fact and be like, no, I was wrong. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
If it makes the show better, that's all I care about.
But it's real out here, Jones.
I hear you, my man.
That's my man. Like,
hey, I hear you.
I understand why you think you always wrong, my man. You know what I mean?
These streets are rough,
these streets
my man.
Is rough.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, these streets are rough.
I know where you're
Brady, I'm going to get him to say it on the air. I'm
going
to get him to say it on the air.
Your end is your sin, man. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, bro.
I hear you.
You got to be safe out here, man.
I hear you, my man.
Stay warm out here.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Coming up later on this hour, we will have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster as we take a special, unique look at Monday Night Football in Las Vegas. By the way, I can't wait for that game, man. That's going to be a lot of fun seeing Ravens, Raiders,
the greatness of the Raiders.
In Las Vegas playing out like that. And I got to get to that stadium. I
got
to get to that stadium at some point.
You have to.
Yeah, definitely have to.
I've seen it from the outside. It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Just the all black inside.
I mean, imagine if you could have your crib look like that.
No kidding.
Don't you have to be vaccinated to go to those games, though?
Yeah, but it's weird. They had SummerSlam there, and I'm not sure if everybody was vaccinated. It's just weird how – I'm just trying to figure out how that works.
Did y'all not pick up on me saying, imagine if you could make your – house look like that?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Well, I mean, listen, by the way, is Mark Davis going to go, or is he still waiting for to make sure fans are going to be back? You know, because he's never visited.
Well, he built a replica crib, didn't he?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like he's at the game, even if he's not at the game.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's like, I don't have to go. I'm not going until everybody's vaccinated.
You know what I think it is? You know those people who, like, want to feel like they're always working? Now he's going to feel like he's always working. He's going to look around and be like, am I at work right now? Oh, I'm at home.
I hear you, my man. What's the name of that movie?
Bucky Larson.
Bucky Larson. By the way, I had no idea who Bucky Larson was. LeVar brought it up on the show. I pulled it up on the computer and almost spit out my coffee. Like, I could not believe. That guy's got a mouthful of surfboards, that Bucky Larson.
Oh, man. Just them front two.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Like two baby shoes. All right. It is Outkick the Coverage here on FSR.
By the way, when
a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Ladies and gentlemen, my Houston Texans are in first place in the AFC South.
Round of applause. My Houston Texans, baby.
They were wronged by Deshaun Watson. He threw them under the bus.
Left them for dead.
Yeah, and then he went to the grab lab 60 times and left them standing alone, wondering who's going to be our quarterback, and they gave Urban Meyer that work. I love Urban Meyer, but my Houston Texans, Brady Quinn, the toast of the town in the AFC South. How about that?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor played well. The rushing attack, the defense got after Trevor Lawrence. I mean, what became apparent is – I mean, even though the Texans were 4-12 last year with Deshaun Watson and him having his best season of his career, they're still a better football team than a 1-1 Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, even just from like a year ago.
How was Jacksonville favored?
Because of Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, come on, man.
They actually have more stability right now going for them than Houston does.
Yeah.
I mean, reality.
Dude, some of the lines were crazy last week, by the way. I mean, the Chargers were giving a point at midpoint of the week, and by the end of that week, I think they were a two-point dog. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of that moving on, like a lot of point swings in week one. I think those won't be quite as bad moving forward, but, I mean, the reality of this situation is the Texans will probably not last at number one.
No.
I think I'm pretty safe.
But
the Jacksonville Jaguars will not be at any point number one in this division. Okay. That's also a pretty safe statement. I mean, there was a couple instances where you saw Trevor Lawrence's talent. Outside of that, though, man, that defense is awful and they can't protect him. They have a hard time running the football. Like, this is going to be a rough, rough year for both Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. I mean, everyone makes a big deal about how many games Urban lost at Florida or at Ohio State. Will he lose that many this year? I mean, Trevor Lawrence never lost a regular season game going back to his high school days. Like, the dude has never lost in the regular season since high school.
Is that a real stat? He never lost?
It's a real stat.
Jesus.
Can I throw something on top of that fire right there, the never lost fire? One of the most difficult things to do when you're a winner is figure out what losing is. And it can dictate. This is one thing that I don't think a lot of people give a whole lot of attention to, is how do winners, when they get to the NFL and they have to deal with being a loser, and I mean consistently being a loser, how do you handle that? It's one thing, like, I would love to have that conversation with so many guys that have had success on so many levels. Like, coming out of high school, like, number one rated player coming out of high school. I had the same head coach, legendary and staff in high school. I go to college, legendary coach and staff, never won a national title, but always won. Number one rated player coming out of college. I go to the pros. And I go to the Washington football team, and we were losers. We just kept losing. And it's crazy because the winner in you believes that some way, somehow, it's going to get better. Like, our hard work, they're going to bring in somebody that's going to make it work. Like, the winner in you keeps saying, we can do this. We could turn it around. You have no idea that you have no real opportunity to turn it around. Like, there's too many elements beyond what you bring. Bro, and let me tell you something. Trevor Lawrence is going to have to understand what being a loser is all about. And where they go from there, I don't know. Where he goes from there, I don't know. For some people, it works out. They figure out a way to win. Some people, they get the hell out. and go somewhere where they can win. And some people just doesn't. You're a loser. Like, my pro career, I'm a loser. I'm a loser as a pro, bro. And that's crazy because you think about it. At one point in time, I led the league in sacks for all backers. I was a pro bowler, you know, starter pro bowler, not alternate, not you know, somebody has to get injured, I get in, or I'm not a starter, like pro bowler, three times over. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter how well one player did. It didn't matter what your accolades were because we were always losing. And that is one hard pill to swallow because I figured out in year five, think about that, in year five, we ain't going to win.
Loser.
You a-hole.
Oh, come we're on. Not going, hey. Oh, come on.
Year five, I figured out we're not going to win. And then you want to know the worst thing about year five?
Roberto kicking you in the nuts on radio?
Then you start getting injuries. Then injuries start.
God,
so now
that's
you start
depressing, man.
Then you start to realize that, man, like, my body is going to start to fall apart here pretty soon. I get out. I pay people thought that I got fired. I got released from the Washington football team. I paid over $2 million to leave. I'll give you this signing bonus back. I'm out. I don't want to work for you. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Losing is this is such a tragic situation. I'll pay to get out. I go to New York. I go to the Giants and blow my Achilles tendon out the first year I'm with them. They go to the playoffs. I had only been to the playoffs one time before that, previous to that, and that was the year before, right? And then they win the Super Bowl the next year. I signed a 6-year deal with the Giants. They win 2 Super Bowls within the life of my contract. I retired after my first year when I blew my Achilles tendon. They win the Super Bowl the next year. And then I think 2 years after that or whatever, they go back and they beat the New England the New England Patriots again for the second time.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But anyways, the point is, being a loser is something that Trevor Lawrence is going to have to figure out how that feels and how that motivates him and how does he try to counteract what's something that will be very difficult for him to change by himself. How does that work? How is that going to play out for him?
Well, and that's the hard part as a quarterback, is you've got to find a way of elevating the level of play of everyone around you. I mean, I use the Houston Texans as an example for Deshaun Watson. They were 4-12 last year.
Yeah.
He led the league in passing yards.
That was his best year, right?
It was his best year. Yeah. Statistically, in every category, he led the league in passing yards. Like, you were going to be hard-pressed to find someone who played as well as Deshaun Watson did last season. And yet, it still wasn't even close to good enough. And so, that's the reality of quarterback in the NFL is – and really any player, it just gets highlighted more with quarterback because so many players, in particular on offense and so many things, impact what you're able to do. You know, it impacts how you play and everything else. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins, for example, didn't play great yesterday, but his defense also didn't. Like, it didn't put him in a great position, but he helped bring his team back towards the end there, and they played well enough in the end to have a chance. So it's just – that's the tough thing, I think, for Trevor Lawrence is this roster is, at least based on last year and their draft position, everything else, it's one of the worst in the league. They're not going to be able to stop anyone defensively, at least as it looks now. You got a first-time defensive coordinator, play caller, the linebackers coach from the Baltimore Ravens, I believe. Or am I mistaken for someone else? But the reality is he's a first-time D coordinator. And they're still going to be trying to figure out a lot of things that what Trevor Lawrence likes, what he can do in his first year starting the league. It's a different deal now. And they don't have a lot of depth, so if they start facing some injuries, they're in a world of hurt in a heartbeat. So it's just hard to overcome a lot of organizational issues, roster issues, things that you have no control over, and you don't have any choice. Like, you get drafted there. So that's going to be the most difficult thing for him is understanding how to handle the adversity and understanding how to learn from it and then play what needs to be, because there's different ways to win games now. And he's got to understand whatever it may take for them to win football games in Jacksonville, and that's going to be one of the hardest things to figure out.
And it's almost like the difference between two worlds, because you know we talk about the AFC South, and they did not have a good day outside of the Houston Texans, and then you know a couple of the reasons why they didn't have good games because Russell Wilson sliced and diced Carson Wentz and the Colts, and then the Tennessee Titans and Taylor Lewan realized, oh, that's Chandler Jones. That guy's a problem. And then Taylor Lewan comes out afterwards and just says, I got exposed. He thanked Chandler Jones for it. He needs to get better because Chandler Jones was a monster yesterday.
He won the defensive MVP off of one game. I mean, all he got to do is cruise. Yeah. All he got to do is cruise the rest of the way. And here, take the award. Like, go ahead, take it home.
The most underappreciated edge rusher
100%.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
It's been that way since he left New England.
You're right.
People forgot about this dude, and he always done is keeps putting up double-digit sack seasons. I know he got hurt last year, but holy cow. If you were Arizona, they got to pay this guy, right? Or do you think that's an overreaction, that's a mistake, if they do just based off one game?
I mean,
because his career is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. He is a catalyst player. One might say that he's going to get a lot of single blocking schemes, man-on-man blocking schemes. Maybe not now after that game, but you would have thought that he would have one-on-one matchups, and a guy like Chandler Jones is going to win those one-on-one matchups. So if they're looking at it as he's having that success because he's Chandler Jones, then you got to start thinking about paying him. You're going to look at how many years he has in the league, how many years you think he has left
of
production.
He's 31.
Yeah, I mean, that's not young for his position. That's not young. So it's kind of how much longer can he play at a high level? What type of risk are you willing to take in paying him that amount of money, knowing that he has gotten injured, knowing that he's had, you know, moments in time, we'll just call it. I don't know that you make the decision to pay him after a game like that.
Well,
but
his price tag just went up, right?
But he definitely did not hurt his cause in terms of wanting to be represented well in terms of one of the premier pass rushers. And obviously we all know the only thing more important than a quarterback is the person that can get to the quarterback. So, I mean, it is what it is.
By the way, Kyler Murray looked damn good yesterday.
Bro, he's like, I don't know, man. He's like a jitterbug. Like, yeah. He's just all shoulder pads and head, and it just be moving around.
He's in that big head mode.
I mean, and it be like so quick, like he's on fire, but in the football version of it, right?
He does it. So, like, Mike Vick was an athlete, and he's fat. Lamar Jackson, you'll see later tonight, like, he's fat. Those guys are. It's almost like Kyler Murray's different.
It's just quick.
He darts.
He's quick.
It's like,
yeah.
Like, it's weird.
He scats.
Yeah, it's like
he's a scatter. He's a scatter dude.
He will expose you, though. I always say, man, he's tiny, but he's the last person someone wants to see in the open field because he'll make you look stupid.
He's got a real arm, right? Like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like you see some of that, but it's not about that. It's about his ability. Like one of the throws he made yesterday when he was scrambling out to his left, there was two guys angling for him.
Oh, yeah.
And he did
he thought he was going to go forward, he went backwards.
And then he went backwards. Both defenders blew by, and he was just standing there by himself. I'm like,
how did he know?
that's where you can't. That dude's like a little human joystick, man. He's like the Dante Hall.
Yeah.
Remember Dante Hall?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
He's like the Dante Hall of quarterbacks. And it's just, I mean, it's scary, man, with the weapons they got now and the way they play and if their defense plays.
So
like
balanced.
They were
so balanced yesterday.
James Conner looked good.
Yeah, he did. You know, I believe if they didn't, they were very close. Both running backs outrushed Derrick Henry in that game. I believe.
I think so.
I think they did. I mean, I think Derrick Henry was, and I said this when we were doing our predictions. Actually, if you shut down Derrick Henry, which that is a large, tremendous proposition to ask of you, but if you can shut down Derrick Henry, you can beat the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, that just is what it is. He is the engine to that vehicle, and they were able to hold him, I think, to like 50 yards or something.
Yeah.
It's something crazy. Yeah, 50. Yep. Yeah. So that's, I mean, you're going to win more often than not against Tennessee if you can hold Derrick Henry to that point total or that number rushing yard total.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, hey, look who it is.
Who is it?
Isaac Longcron.
Hello!
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron
Rodgers
completed just 15 of 28 for 133, no touchdown passes, two interceptions. And after the game, Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur was not amused.
Hey,
sorry about that.
That's the coach from Kansas City.
No, actually, that was a former Green Bay Packers coach, but not the current.
Oh, that was Lombardi.
Yeah, I was off by, you know, give or take 60
you're
years.
You're thinking of Hank Stram. I remember, that clip. Yeah, that's all right. It happens, Isaac. You know, 60
Hank
years,
Stram.
Yes.
The pioneer of the mic'd up head coach.
Yes.
65 toss power trap. Wearing that suit on the sidelines. Absolutely. He was the original for NFL films. Let's try this again. Here is the present Green Bay Packers head coach. Again, give or take 60 years.
Absolutely embarrassed us today and can't do that against a well-coached and quality football team. Our guys are going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror. It starts with myself. Obviously, didn't get these guys ready to play ball. And that's what happens when you go out there and play like that against a good football team.
Translation, he was talking direct to Aaron Rodgers. He wanted to say Aaron Rodgers on everything where he said myself and the guys and the team.
All right, well, part of the fun of sending messages through the media, let's hear what Aaron Rodgers' response to that was about Matt LaFleur saying that the Packers were embarrassed.
It's just one game. You know, we played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game, we got 16 to go.
So just relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. It's just one game.
Yeah.
And what's weird about that is you have no choice but to believe Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
You have no choice. But go ahead. I digress. I'm sorry.
So much for the Packers easing into the 2021 season drama-free. But you know what? It's great for people like us. Elsewhere, the Kansas City Chiefs rallied for a 33-29 victory over the Cleveland Browns thanks to two fourth-quarter touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes in a span of 3 minutes and 6 seconds. Finally, on Sunday night, baseball. Real thrilling win for the New York Mets, 7-6 over the Yankees. Francisco Lindor hit three home runs, including the game-winning home run in the bottom half of the eighth inning, fellas.
Thanks, Isaac. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. All right, so coming up next, it is the Prop Bet Monster, a special look ahead and preview we can all play along to for Monday Night Football live from Las Vegas. It's yours next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. Kind of a nice little performance for somebody, a debut performance in the NFL yesterday. You guys, you tied in the debut edition of the Prop Bet Monster. You guys finished with two correct picks for Thursday Night Football.
Ooh,
so you did finish tied.
That's not very good.
Yeah, well, but
how many were there? Five or four?
Yeah, there were five of them, but some of them actually didn't end up developing because these are all made up. And so some
right.
of them are ridiculous.
Well, I've got a new strategy, by the way,
okay.
moving forward.
All right.
Yeah, I've got a new strategy. I'm not gonna say what it is. I think LeVar is going to hear it when this happens, but I'm just telling you right now, LeVar, I've got a new strategy because I thought about this over the weekend. I think I know how to win this Prop Bet Monster.
Okay.
I think I know.
Fair enough. Well, without further ado,
let's
it's
see
time
what
for
we
this.
Got.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul, the Prop Bet Monster.
And away we go. and we take a closer look at Monday Night Football. It is the Ravens at the Raiders, where it's LeVar Arrington versus Brady Quinn. It's LB versus QB, and your host is a DB. And here we go, guys. Let's take a look. The first bet for the Ravens-Raiders tonight here in the Prop Bet Monster is this. The Las Vegas performer shown first during the game. Here are your options. Is it Carrot Top, Celine Dion, the Blue Man Group, or the fake Elvis? Where are we going, LeVar?
Oh, that's horrible, man.
Come on, where are we going,
LeVar? Come on,
LeVar.
What do you got? I know where I'm going.
Fake Elvis.
All right,
No, you took it from me. No. No!
Sorry.
Dang it!
Brady and Carrot Top are friends. That's a story for another time.
I'm going with my man Carrot Top.
Yes. That's a strong
hopefully,
fella.
Yes. Hopefully, if he's listening, he'll be out there. Yeah. He'll be representing Raider Nation. I'm hoping it's Carrot Top.
Yes.
I have a funny feeling that it'll be Celine Dion.
Yeah, it might be.
Would he still be Carrot Top if he got a baldy?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, right? That's a great question. I was just wondering.
Yeah, when lose that hair, it's over. All right, next up, who complains about a call first, John Harbaugh or John Gruden?
Oh, that's a good one. You go first. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Gruden because I feel like, I don't know, he's at home. There's probably going to be some more. They throw the football more. Probably some PI defensive holding or something's going to happen. I'm going to say Gruden.
I'm going with Harbaugh.
All right, there you go.
I'm going with Harbaugh because he can't afford to get anyone else hurt. So the moment somebody gets touched the wrong way, Harbaugh is going to lose it.
All right,
Next up here on the Prop Bet Monster here on Outkick the Coverage, who leads the Ravens in rushing? Here are your options. Is it Lamar Jackson, Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray, or Priest Holmes?
I'm going with Priest Holmes.
Very good. Nice pick. There it is. You're all right. Hey, Brady.
He knows the strategy.
Hey, Brady.
He knows the strategy.
Very good.
Dang it.
Very good. All right. Okay, Brady, what are we going with?
I mean, that's the problem is I can't agree even though
it's got to be Lamar Jackson, right? It has to be. What do they got?
Yeah, but I would love for it to be Le'Veon Bell. I think for the storyline, I'd like for it to be Le'Veon. So I'm not going to go with Lamar. I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
I hope it's Le'Veon Bell for his sake.
All right. Famous Raiders fan. Famous Raiders fan who curses in a tweet during the game first. Is it Roberto, our technical producer?
Well,
Danny G, our executive producer. Oh, okay. Guy Fieri or Tiger Woods?
I'm going Tiger. Go.
Come on. Is Tiger a Raiders
fan? Yeah, he's a Raider fan. Yeah, it's legit.
I never knew that.
You got it, Brady.
He's a fan of a lot of things.
Who was the third option?
Guy Fieri.
I'm sorry, it keeps cutting out. What are you saying?
It's Fieri, Guy Brady. Fieri. For Christ's sake. Like it's the Nizza read. Jesus.
Set you up.
I'm Roberto.
LeVar, who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going with Danny
Roberto.
G.
All right, there it is. All right, so Danny G to curse in a tweet first. And then, Brady, you're going to go with Roberto?
Roberto, yeah.
He's like a minus 2,000 favorite to win that one.
I mean, we have two Raider fans. Yes. In the control
room. It's disgusting. I know. Listen, tell me about it.
I didn't know Guy, though, was a Raiders fan.
He is.
Oh,
yeah.
Huge. Yeah, he actually will go to the Raiders camp and prepare a feast for the team once per year. Oh,
now, how would he pronounce his own name? That's what I want to know.
He would say, kiss my ass.
Oh.
All right, we have one
more
here.
That's how he would say it?
Yeah, that's what he would say. Right. We have one more here. All right, so this is kind of complicated, so pay attention. As they go to or come back from the first commercial, which casino on the strip do they show first? Is it MGM, Luxor, Caesar's Palace, or the Bellagio?
Good, you got it, Brady.
Caesar's.
All right.
That's MGM.
You're going to go MGM?
They're going for
and by the way, Jonas wants us to say Luxor. That's going
to
be the way.
I don't want you to say Luxor. I thought you would have said Bellagio for the fountains.
They're either going to show
know?
The fountains or they're going to show the green building.
All right, so there it is.
So it's going to be MGM.
That is this week's edition of the Prop Bet Monster. Hour 3 next here on FSR.